Phil, there are so many great television shows and movies.
That's right. Thank goodness Resonance Rewind has the team to analyze them on a personal basis.
It may well be you never heard of Alexei Navalny, but after this edition of Resonance Rewind, hopefully you'll be moved to check out the details behind this extraordinary individual and his battle against the might of Moscow. It is indeed time for Resonance Rewind.
Okay, so Alexei, I want to talk about something that we sort of touched on this morning. And you might hate this, but I really want you to think about it. If you are killed, if this does happen, what message do you leave behind to the Russian people?
Alexei Navalny has taken on the most dangerous job in the world, challenging the leader of the Kremlin, Vladimir Putin.
If I want to be a leader of this country, if I want to fight Putin, I have to organize people.
Война в Украине и война в Сирии. Я прекращу войну.
The Kremlin hates Navalny so much, they refuse to say his name.
I was banned from everything and blacklisted. But as I became more and more famous, I was totally sure that it would be problematic for them to kill me.
And boy, were you wrong.
Yes, I was very wrong.
Alexei Navalny arrives at this hospital in Berlin.
To have your dad, an opposition leader, being poisoned, it was literally like a book.
Come on, poisoned? Seriously?
We were so shocked. It's like Putin's leaving a signature on a crime scene.
It's kind of stupid.
We found a domestic assassination machine on an industrial scale.
Navalny will personally call these poisoners one by one.
Это Навальный Алексей вас беспокоит. Хотел узнать, зачем вы хотели меня убить.
Oh my god, you ruined their day.
Navalny is stepping into a showdown with the Kremlin.
I want to go back and try to change Russia.
It's something worth fighting for.
Are you not scared, Alexei?
Поэтому бездействовать не надо.
Well, it's powerful, I'll give you that, in terms of the narrative that comes through. And you might well ask, well, what is Resonance Rewind doing analysing a documentary, a creative version of reality, as documentaries have been described by Bill Nichols, amongst others? Well, primarily because I felt it was significant and needed to be addressed. It is obviously award-winning. It's won a BAFTA award. It's up for an Academy Award. The title, of course, of the piece is Navalny. It's originally a CNN documentary. And that's one of the reasons why we're having this kind of special Resonance Rewind, to begin to address some of the factors within that. Because actually, if you just watch this cold, you might well turn around and say, well, that's a very nice spy drama or spy-fi drama that was put together. And yet, of course, this is real. It's a creative version of the real world. It's reality and so on. Let's turn to our younger member at this stage and go straight to Jared Palmer. Jared, Navalny, what were your thoughts?
Hi, Alex. Well, my thoughts were very interesting, actually. I think this is a long time when I've actually watched an actual documentary for this subject, because I think a lot of them have been more outside of Russia for this, whereas in this one was more in Russia. And it's very interesting to see what happened as well, especially with the interpolitics of everything. And I definitely think that this is something to keep aware of, especially with what's going on with Russia, with the Ukraine, and also with everything else. And I think it was definitely interesting to see the other side of it, or what another side of that spectrum was. And it was very interesting to watch the whole documentary from the start to beginning and end.
As I said, I was particularly gripped with this. I wasn't perhaps expecting to be. I think after a time, you all become somewhat jaundiced about the ways in which news is actually developed and put together. Let's turn to Pamela. Pamela, from your own perspective, I know you said you're actually in tears at times when you're actually watching it, not necessarily about the Russian people, but about the insane line of some of the leaders. I mean, again, the summation of this, Navalny follows the man, Alexei Navalny, who survived an assassination attempt by poisoning with a lethal nerve agent in August 2020, so very much at the height of the pandemic. And then we have the whole range of discoveries about the attempt on his life and so on. I mean, your thoughts, please, Pamela.
Well, actually, it was interesting. I think you had noted about the Russian people, and I'm glad that you had made a note of that before I watched it, because it makes you realize that people are people no matter where you go. Everyday, hardworking people, good people, family people, people who have faith, people who believe in goodness and work hard. And those people are everywhere. The politics of a country is very, very different than the people of a country. And something else that came into mind since that time, because I had a discussion with a friend who suggested I watch another documentary, which was which maybe both of you have seen. And it's basically, it was Oliver Stone, and it was interviews with Putin to try and get an idea of maybe where he was coming from. I've not seen it yet, but I will see it. I started thinking about the concept of manipulation and the concept of manipulating the media or manipulating the peoples. And it's really, if you watch everything and you completely believe 100% in whatever you're watching, that can be dangerous because there's always another side. That said, it really gave you a very clear picture of the good people of Russia who don't want a megalomaniac, you know, having the power to poison someone because they disagree with him. That, you know, that you see that and you don't blame the people at all. Another thing, my question, and it's kind of a bit of a spoiler, but for anyone that knows the story, my question is really, why on earth did he go back there? Because I felt like he could have done so much good from outside. He goes back there basically to die. And that's the part that made me cry, because it's just so heartbreaking. He's there now. This is a true story. He's there being poisoned or being put in a cell with psychopaths. They're really trying to do him in slowly there. And that is real. That's actually real. And it's happening.
I suppose the closest parallel I can maybe draw on this is the long incarceration of Nelson Mandela in South Africa in the 20th century. And there's a part of me which maintains that because Navalny himself has a very uplifting message at the end of the piece to actually stay strong, to maintain that maybe actually there will be a case where he will actually survive and live to tell the tale. Again, Jared's certainly too young, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was imprisoned for many years and wrote the Gulag Archipelago. I mean, this is nothing, sadly, it's nothing new to Russia in terms of a format that you take somebody you don't like and you either attempt to assassinate them or incarcerate them or send them to Siberia and so on. And again, the other point that needs to be borne in mind is, sadly, this is not unique. I mean, I think there are many, many countries in the world who would actually adopt a similar routine. I mean, the bizarre nature and the reason we actually launched this particular Resonance Rewind with OMC and How Bizarre, in itself quite curious, because OMC, a band from New Zealand who again suffered tragedy, and the lead singer died a few years ago after his one major hit, How Bizarre, but that being used as the soundtrack that Navalny uses for his TikTok video, again, to actually use social media to get the message out there. I mean, Jared, you're a filmmaker, you're a student of film and general, and obviously social media as well. What were your thoughts on the way in which social media was actually being used by Navalny to, again, get his message out there?
Well, I thought it was quite positive, actually, that he was using these forms of media in order to express the concerns for what was going on in Russia and what was going on around him as well, and especially what was going around with everything from, of course, Putin to the Ukraine war. And I think it was very well done when they managed to use it, because they didn't overdo it, but at the same time they gave the right amount of exposure to do it in order to show that this is what we've been doing, this is how we're getting the message across. And I think it comes off quite interesting how to effectively see other people use social media like that, so it was quite interesting.
I mean, Pamela, clearly you also employ social media for your career as a musician and develop various other aspects within that. I mean, I think special mention certainly to Alexei's wife, Yulia Navalny, who, again, received the award on her husband's behalf when they were awarded the best documentary feature at the recent BAFTAs ceremony. I do feel, actually, it would be a travesty if they didn't get an Academy Award to go along with that. But at the same time, you know, in terms of that social media side of things, did you feel it was effective? Because clearly one of the lines that Navalny himself was saying was, because of his popularity, it was one of the reasons that actually he felt buoyed up by that and probably felt that actually, yes, he would actually survive. Whereas if he was a kind of nobody, that effectively he'd just be taken out, nobody would actually care.
Oh, absolutely. And anybody, all anybody has to do is watch something like Inventing Anna and see how much social media plays a role in perception of people. I think that as an artist who employs social media because it's free and because you can reach so many people and communicate with so many people, cut out the middleman in terms of your message, and those who get it will find you and you can communicate with them. And it's a beautiful sort of global grassroots, if you will. That said, I was so moved by it that I thought, well, what can I do? What can I do to help? What can I do to get involved in this? And I went on and I did some digging around, and it was really hard to get to a place to really be able to even find out what's going on today. Or I know it's really difficult. I'm sure it's really difficult right now. I think he's been poisoned over the past few months or something slowly. So it's really hard to find out. And also maybe that's something you can help with, Alex, that it would be great to know, what the people that are really moved by this, what can we do to help? If anything, maybe nothing. But in answer to speaking to the social media component of it, social media can be so amazing, such an amazing tool to reach out beyond the politics and beyond the brick walls that governments and leaders try and put up. Absolutely.
I mean, one could cynically say that probably the worst thing for Alexei Navalny was the Russian invasion of Ukraine, because actually his story, his narrative, has been eclipsed by the global destruction that's taking place now, sadly, even as we speak, in the Ukraine. Having said that, maybe there actually is hope, if only for the level of incompetence that Navalny himself was shocked by, in terms of that highly memorable sequel, where effectively he's saying, "Hi, I'm Alexei Navalny. Just want to know, why did you poison me?" I mean, it's almost taken from a sort of a punk sort of system. I mean, punk pranked, etc. It's extraordinary. I mean, Jared, what was that one of your favorite moments of the movie, or were there heaps more?
I think it was one of the ones I did sort of question it, but I did find it very funny though when he did that. And I did find it a bit funny where he does argue with the filmmakers who are interviewing him about like filmmaking and stuff like that. But I did think it was quite interesting, because you don't often see that type of interview where the interviewee sort of like starts questioning the person who's giving him the questions and like sort of questions the motive. So it was very active sort of role in that. So I did quite find that quite funny as well with it. So.
I mean, it was a bit of a hard-hitting introduction, because from that opening intro that Navalny provides, the suggestion is that the movie was only going to be released in the event of his death. Whereas, as far as we know, he's thankfully not still dead, but of course he's incarcerated. So in a sense, he's having a living death in terms of not being able to get his message out, etc. And his message ultimately, as a filmmaker himself, I think, seems to be one of actually anti-corruption and a sort of a new start from that perspective. I know that an awful lot of people who have experienced and are still alive experienced the Soviet aspect, because that was so deeply rooted, so deeply ingrained, it's going to take several generations to get away from the kind of indoctrination that was put in with that. And again, I felt that, the hard-handed way in which the police were actually operating, it didn't really do anybody any favors, really. And it was almost as though, this was just not working. Also, the curious way in which Putin himself refused to even acknowledge by naming Navalny in any way, shape, or form. It was always that person over there, that particular person, etc. And of course, the massed ranks of propaganda and the equivalent of 60 Minutes in terms of Russian TV that was basically putting up Navalny as some crazy, eccentric, who was completely out of it and very much marginalized. I mean, lots of narratives which probably feed into conspiracy theorists, but at the same time, maybe we need to sort of just think, actually, there is a resonance. Because I did get throughout this whole sequence with the Navalny family, and obviously his daughter is studying in California, the global nature, that there was a ring of verisimilitude about this, a ring of truth. I mean, I didn't get a sense that in any way, I mean, obviously, we are inevitably being manipulated, but I didn't feel as though I was being needlessly manipulated in terms of the way that thing was being developed.
Absolutely. I think that any message, you know, be it Gandhi or Dalai Lama or, you know, anyone, a Christ, you know, anyone giving the message of love and peace and equality and you know, just the birthright of having free will, how can one argue with that? You could try to argue with it, you know, but honestly, if that simply is the message, if this message is just be sane and treat human beings like human beings, that's a message you cannot argue with. I'm really curious, Alex, to you had said that there was a class that you had shown the movie to, and I'm sure there were discussions and discourse after that. I was wondering what some of the young students had to say, being hit with this and watching this movie.
Well, I screened it to both my postgraduate students in terms of journalism and contemporary cinema, and also my level two public relations and communication students, because it is very much a case of communicating in the public sphere. And it crosses over both of those boundaries very effectively. Uniformly, and obviously I'm not preempting in any way, shape or form our own scores for this particular thing, 100%, 10 out of 10. Because they were just shocked, partly because, A, they didn't know the story. They had no conception as to who the individual was. They thought it was maybe something to do with the Navy or some other sort of aspect. And again, it probably shows the what in many ways would have been the Russian Parliament's view that actually, well, just be, everybody will forget about it and we'll just move on. And I felt actually it was significant and it needed to be taken on board because, of course, we've already seen in Salisbury, England, the poisoning of Litvinenko, which was portrayed by David Tennant recently in an ITV drama. Inevitably, there will be a drama about Alexei Navalny, and I'm sure that will also be part of the narrative, etc. Clearly, if we were living in the Resonance Rewind multiverse of superheroes, it would simply be a case of he'd be rescued overnight and with about one bound he'd be free, or you'd send in the equivalent of James Bond to actually sort the problem out. We don't have that fallback. But again, I thought it was fascinating how much of the system and, of course, data journalism. I mean, we see this manifested fully in terms of how journalists are more and more these days turning to data journalism. And, of course, the work of Hristo Grozev, the Bulgarian, who actually uncovered the whole plot line and actually proved that there were KGB assassins on the trip to Siberia with Alexei Navalny. And of course, you know, it's almost farcical where you think, yeah, okay, well, the moral of the story is, for God's sake, never wear blue underpants after they've been to the hotel for cleaning, etc., for dry cleaning. But, I mean, extraordinary. I'm kind of almost left with a jaw-dropping sense of, what are they thinking?
WTF. You know, as an American, I was just asking the question and then kind of laughing at myself for asking the question of how can something be proven conclusively, factually, without a shadow of a doubt, and then nothing is done about it. And I'm reminded of Donald Trump and his taxes and Donald Trump and Russia and Donald Trump dot, 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 dot. So, you know, even in a country like America, a democracy, quote unquote, you know, something can be proven conclusively about a leader that is just horrific. A person like that that commits these things should go to jail, and it just doesn't happen, you know. And I think that is the incredulousness. And then step one, you know, accept that, get that around your noggin. Step two, you know, WTF? What do I do? What can we do? People are motivated by a movie like this to try and do something. But what is to be done? We're not in the country. We're not Russia. We can't make a difference in that way.
Well, I'd like to think in some ways the reason I kind of pushed heavily to actually have this discussion on Resonance Rewind is because it's a kind of message which may at least be taken to get more people to actually watch the documentary in the first place. Because, again, it's something which I suspect most people aren't necessarily interested in what wins Best Documentary at either the BAFTAs or indeed the Academy Awards. But I felt it was important to at least raise that. Prayer is always a good response, but let's not quite go down through that system as yet. I mean, hopefully things will work for you. Jared, what are your thoughts? I mean, would you say this is the perfect spy thriller? When I get my sort of full budget together, I'm going to do Alexei Navalny the movie.
Well, I'll probably end up doing the sequel for it. So we'll have to wait and
the
see.
The Escape,
for that.
Presumably. Navalny, The Escape.
Yeah. I thought it was a 10 out of 10 because it showed a lot more of Russia that we don't really see. And we also see the other side of what it's like to be basically Putin's enemy and to be on the other political side. And it's quite interesting as well because I don't think we have that side for Russia. And I think especially with the Ukraine war, there has been a lot of information and a lot of conflict between both sides. And I know that Russia has unfortunately got a lot of bad press, but I think this documentary has shown that there are people in Russia fighting against Putin as well and fighting for the freedoms as well. And it's definitely something that I would encourage others to watch because this is what's happening now. And this is definitely something that needs to be out.
In case people are wondering, why haven't we got the full Resonance Rewind team together? Well, actually, there are lots of good reasons. Kathy is actually seeing Lizarro in Birmingham. Jessica's having problems getting onto the internet with respect to her Dublin connection. Graham Harper's just returning from a funeral in France. And Robin and Stephen Pierce are actually off seeing Cocaine Bear. But what the hey? You know, that's part and parcel of the whole sort of system. We will hopefully have a few more additional side of things from that. Let's talk favourite characters. I mean, I'm going to make no bones about it. For me, the characters of the movie were the little horse and the donkey. I mean, you know, anybody who doesn't feel as though they're moved beyond words with respect to that German donkey and the German little horse, the sort of equivalent of the Shetland pony, I think it's like you wouldn't be affected by the death of Bambi's mother, basically. So I put that up there straight at the top. But what about yourself, Pamela? Who kind of stood out for you in terms of the narrative, in terms of who you'd like to basically have a cup of coffee with or a cup of tea?
Well, there are three, but I'll put them in order. I would say the daughter, because my goodness, I mean, she came across as being so completely supportive of her father, which is phenomenal. At the same time, I can't even begin to compare, but I know a little bit from, you know, my daughter who has a daddy on tour. She's grown up with her dad on tour half of her life. And it's really hard. It's hard to be away from your father on your birthday, on momentous occasions that he just can't be there. Now, in this case, I mean, he was in jail. You know, this is for political reasons. This is really serious. I'd say the daughter being number one, and the wife being number two, and not below. Just, you know, in terms of, I'd like to actually have coffee with them both. And I always think about, maybe because I'm a mom, but the children. How does this affect the children? Whatever's happening, how does it affect the children? So number two, definitely the wife. Number three, I mean, the thing about Navalny is he's ever so charismatic. He's beautiful. He's like the perfect specimen of a man, you know, funny, silly, obviously incredibly intelligent, a little bit cocky, but I think you need to be if you're going to take on Putin. So I'd actually like to have tea with all three of them, which mean that he'd have to get out of jail. So Russia, if you're listening, you have to let him out of jail so we can all have tea. And Jared and Alex, you're invited too. We just have to pick a place.
That could tip the balance, Pamela. You know, it could well be that's exactly what we need. So Dasha Navalny, and of course Yulia Navalny have got your votes from that point of view. Jared, what about yourself?
Oh, I would have to go for Navalny, and I also have to go for his wife as well, because especially she must have been so traumatized when she heard the news of when he got poisoned and like him being basically on it. Like, it might have looked like from her point of view that he was back to practically nearly dead. And I think honestly, to be in that situation as well, it's must have been so traumatic. Yet she was struck by her husband's side when she was, and she's been so supportive of him, and same with his daughter as well. But I just love how Navalny is very charismatic in this interview, and I love it how he's really on board with everything that they're doing, and I think he starts to learn a bit more, especially with the journalists as well. And I definitely do like the way he interacts with the filmmakers, so he's not just sitting there just casual interview, they give you the questions, you ask them and just leave it out there. He's actively giving feedback and stuff like that, so that he, I think, in a way, so that he can get his own sort of like personal authority over it as well. So it was a bit interesting to see that as well.
Yeah, again, I think you've touched on a key point there in terms of how do you react when you feel as though your life partner is effectively being poisoned and the entire hospital is staffed with KGB agents and such like. It becomes a very challenging time. And again, tragically, not one which is unique to the human experience. We've talked a little bit about the style and the format of the documentary. And I think, again, credit to the director, Daniel Roer, who clearly is is something where I think needed a sensitivity in terms of how it was going. Also needed a classic case of a whole series of precautions, because clearly the case of Hristo, the Bulgarian, you don't want to out these people to the extent. I mean, I gather he's already in hiding, because clearly there are notions of that someone be executed. We gather from supposition, not facts, that the chemist who effectively revealed all about the plot has never been seen or heard of again. I mean, these are dangerous challenges, dangerous times from that point of view. But again, I think that's also handled in a sensitive manner. It's not exploitative. I didn't get the feeling in any way, shape, or form that this was an exploitative movie. And sometimes documentaries can fall into that trap of almost being emotional pornography. And I didn't get that sense, Pamela. I don't know about yourself. I mean, I got the feeling that this was the facts. It was focusing on that. Yes, certainly it was emotive. The music by Marius de Vries was packed a punch, etc., but it didn't manipulate in a kind of cynical sense at any time.
I did not know that Marius did the music. I've actually met him. Jerry was working on Rufus Wainwright's incredible album, Release the Stars, and I think that was the one that Marius produced. Mm. He's a genius. I didn't know he did the music. Oh, I'll have to tell Jerry that's fantastic. Yeah. We're a fan of his. No, not at all. I didn't think it was. Again, is another word I've never heard before, because I exist in a cave.
It's New York. It could be a cave to some people. What the heck?
Emotional pornography. Wow, what a term. No, I didn't feel that at all. One thinks of Russia. I'm just speaking for myself, and one thinks dangerous. You know, to do something like this, I think, is probably one of the most dangerous things you could do in the world. You know, we've grown up in America hearing, of course, this propaganda from this side, but growing up hearing, so-and-so would be shipped to Siberia. I actually do have, can't really talk about it so much, but someone quite close to me was involved with someone who, oh goodness, how do I talk about this? I mean, basically they were a Russian spy. And it got a little bit close to home, but it was a real thing. It was an actual, genuine, real thing. This particular person has never been heard from again. And this happened in the early 90s, I think, maybe. Mm-hmm. So I know that these kinds of things really do happen. So I feel like I did feel that there was a real earnest, truthful telling of exactly what was going on. And to see in real, not real time, but to really see Navalny facing off, like literally taking his life in his hands and speaking, getting this information out, and it's like, OMFG, this is happening. This is really, really happening. This is real. So I believe that it's entirely real. I believe it's one perspective, but I believe it's the perspective of people like you and I. And this is horrifying. It's horrifying that leaders have so much power that, you know, it's like off with his head, you know, that he could just do something like this and get away with it. And it's happening right now as we speak. This is what's happening. It is happening.
Jared. Again, it seems crass to actually ask for a quantitative score on this particular one, but I'm going to go for it in any case. If you have anything else you'd like to add, because I like to feel that you're the next generation. It's your duty, Jared, to actually ensure we don't get faced with more Putins or their ilk in the 21st century. So no pressure then, basically. But in terms of that, what are you going to score this particular one at?
Well, I think I'm going to score a 10 out of 10, especially since of how recent and how just the footage itself and like what really happened during these events is quite shocking. And yeah, I think honestly, I think with what's going on with Putin and everything with Russia as well as the Ukraine, it really ties in together, and you can kind of see the reasons why someone like Navalny is trying to like fight back against Putin, to show that there is that force in Russia fighting back against Putin. It may be small at the moment, but it's growing. And I think this documentary also, both back in Russia and also back around the world, is also showing people that change is going to happen. Whether or not it's going to take a year or like 20 or 50 years, change is going to happen eventually. And I think it's also showing the responsibility for us to be out there, be more socially responsible for other people in other countries as well. And I think it's especially since when Putin went to Gorbachev's funeral when he passed away, you can clearly see Putin really didn't want to be there. And like, he was just only there for a couple of seconds looking down a bit, and then he just left, because I think for him, Gorbachev was one of the biggest peacekeepers and the one person who ended the Soviet Union and brought Russia out of that period of darkness. And I think Navalny's also taken a lot of inspiration from him as well.
Yes, of course, Mikhail Gorbachev, who very much brought the concept of perestroika, rebuilding and glasnost, openness to the world. And we mustn't forget, of course, and I think you alluded to this, Jared, that there are lots of cases, whether it be the supposed illegal migration challenges that our present UK government are looking to actually address with some bizarre responses, or indeed the persecution of individuals of faith in Nigeria, or indeed China and the Uyghur rebels. I mean, one can go on and on, sadly, about the sort of situations in terms of world politics, but we can't fix everything at that particular time. We'll just have to see how things pan out. Pamela, what's your score for this one?
Well, we need to break the wheel, but not in a Daenerys Targaryen way. I'm giving it a 10, and just a straight, honest, earnest 10, because it was very enlightening and it was heartbreaking. I mean, it's not often that a film makes me cry, a documentary, but this really did make me cry, and it stayed with me for a while. I think of the band Pussy Riot, and I don't really know what's going on with them right now, but I know that they've spoken out a lot, and they kept ending up in jail. I'd be interested in if anybody knows about an update about them. But yes, I'm giving this a 10, and I just want to know, you know, what can we do through the channels of social media?
Well, I won't say answers on a postcard, but maybe answers on an email, who knows? This has been a Residents Rewind special focusing on the documentary Navalny, which you can access on most streaming platforms, certainly BBC iPlayer, and likewise Amazon. You can purchase it from that perspective. We may squeeze in another viewpoint before the end of the programme, but for the moment, to Jared Palmer and to Pamela Suman, many thanks. Inevitably, we'll say those closing lines as we go to more music by Marius de Vries. Keep on resonating.
Well, as promised, we've got an additional viewpoint on Resonance Rewind about this extraordinary piece of documentary filmmaking, Navalny, and that is of singer-songwriter Chloe Rose. Chloe, welcome back to Resonance Rewind. Your own initial thoughts on watching Navalny, then?
Oh, gosh. I mean, at first, I just want to say what an incredible person he is. I mean, as a lawyer, living in Russia as well, and wanting to, you know, make a change for Russians as citizens. And I just think it's so sad that in this day and age, things like that are happening, and he's having to stand up for everybody in Russia to say, you know what, this is wrong. We need to do something about this. We need to have freedom of speech and, you know, be able to go on our merry way. And we are so lucky, Alex. I mean, in British, I just think the things we can have freedom of speech. We can just walk the streets and without a worry in terms of rules in place. And I mean, what an incredible man. And it's just so tragic that, you know, he got poisoned and, oh, dear me, the trials and tribulations he went through, and his wife, and now he's in prison, isn't he, still at the moment?
I was going to say, he's still going through, unfortunately, but...
Can't they get him out?
As I said earlier in the programme, I think probably the similarity with Nelson Mandela might be something that could be drawn a parallel with, but we'll just have to wait and see. let's hope that the country doesn't switch into a such scenario where people don't have free speech. There are people probably listening to this who say, actually, we don't have free speech. Look at Gary Lineker. He hasn't had free speech. He's had to sort of do it. Well, anyway, that's another issue for another time. Let's just look at this particular text, etc. Did you have any favourite scenes? I mean, as I said earlier, I personally have a big fondness for the donkey and the little horse.
Oh, that was so... Yeah, that was one of the most adorable pieces when, one of the lady, his wife, she liked the donkey very much so, and he liked the little pony and they was feeding them, so that was quite nice because they were sort of in hiding, weren't they, so they were in this quiet village, and I quite liked that part of it as well. It was quite not exciting. Well, no, you can't say exciting. I mean, but
if we weren't aware that this was a true story, which again, a lot of people have kind of said, Navalny, who's Navalny? And the number of people we've screened this to, and there has been that response. And hopefully, yeah, people listening to this will actually check out the video and have a look at the whole system. You would almost think it's a plot line for a Daniel Craig Bond movie in many ways.
You actually would. And you know what? When I was looking at him, I thought he reminded me of Daniel Craig, his piercing blue eyes. And I thought, oh, lovely, you know, of great man and great bravery. I mean, he thought he's not going to back down, he's going to do what is right for the good of all man. And I just think, what a fantastic person. I was crying by the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the sequences that we have when obviously he is arrested after having gone back to Russia for reasons that, again, many people would say, well, why did you go back? And I think he was very clear in this. He went back to make a difference and to hopefully make a difference. So to acknowledge that not all Russians are necessarily in favour of the current regime. And of course, again, this whole documentary was filmed before the Ukraine scenario took place, which is another whole issue that people tend to forget, some of the issues that they have there. Favourite characters, Chloe? Any particular favourite characters?
Well, he's got to be my favourite. Yeah. And definitely the little pony. And I liked his daughter, was lovely. Very intelligent lady. I liked his daughter very much.
Yeah, I think together with...
And the guy, sorry, I keep talking. And I call him an IT guy because he seemed to be good at technology and all the data side. I thought he was, he had quite a lot about him. I liked him as well. And his wife. Everybody. I liked everybody in it.
Yeah, absolutely. We hope, of course, a number of them have actually had to go into hiding. We've talked about favourite characters. We've talked about our own initial views on that whole side of things there. Let's move on to your score out of 10 for Navalny. What are you going to give it?
10. Awesome guy. Go on, keep going. He's brilliant.
Well, as promised, we found out, obviously, the thoughts of Pamela Sue Mann and Jared Palmer on Navalny and Chloe Rose. We go turn now to Jessica Burtis, another one of our young co-presenters and co-hosts and experienced as well from that point of view. Jessica, as we've said, this is the first time we've actually focused a documentary on Resonance Rewind. First of all, were you familiar with Alexei Navalny before you came to watch this?
I really hadn't been. I'm surprised I hadn't, or I feel like I most likely had seen his name in the news before and just hadn't really remembered, because I feel like it would have been hard for me to miss this happening. But yeah, I wasn't very familiar.
It was one of those things which, as we've said consistently in this particular program, it's almost as though it's a spy thriller writ large in so many ways. And, if you saw this as part of a Mission Impossible line with Tom Cruise or a system with respect to James Bond, you might think that's too far-fetched, etc. And yet, of course, it is real. It is happening. We still have Alexei incarcerated in Siberia from that. What were your thoughts of the overall piece? Did you feel it was one that actually deserves a wider audience? And of course, now we can officially confirm it has won the Academy Award for Best Documentary of 2022-23.
Yeah, I think a BAFTA as well, and the Oscar for Best Documentary. I need to start watching more documentaries because I always think the style that they're filmed in is one of the most interesting things that makes them more individual. But I think that this was such a topical documentary. Sometimes I tend to watch historical ones, but the fact that this is very relevant and current makes it much more important to kind of watch and see. So I think I was also surprised by the amount of humor in it and how much Alexei still makes light of things that have happened to him. Just the bit where he was like just aghast about being poisoned, just for how just poison really, just because of you know how tropey it is.
And wearing that... blue underpants as well, you know, the poison through the blue underpants. Shocking.
Just something I did not expect from this you know, documentary about this man being threatened by the Russian government. I think that was surprising. It just threw me in ways I didn't expect. And I think that's part of what made it very interesting. And also seeing the perspective of his family and seeing, you know, that was so personal. And to have it out there, it just makes it feel even more brave. I think because they were all kind of putting themselves out there. And I was doing like some research on the agent, the nerve agent that he was poisoned with. And in England, I think a few years ago, double agent and his daughter were poisoned with it.
That was, of course, the Salisbury poisonings, which, again, we had the poisoning of Alexander Litvinenko, who was the agent who was effectively poisoned. Hence, of course, the line that this was Putin's signature poison, that again made it even more bizarre in terms of how the thing was actually operated. And again, you know, it's almost jaw-droppingly amazing what you're looking. You think this can't be true, but of course there is that connection, which is surreal. I mean, again, and I think, you know, whether it's the CIA, whether it's the Russian Secret Service, whatever, whether it's MI5 and so on. I mean, all governments have actually done this, but you know, the sense of, you would actually say, well, they obviously didn't do the job properly. And of course, these days, you know, we're left with the tragedy of the Ukraine. Maybe stories like the opposition. I think the point for me was, really, it should push the narrative that actually you can't label all of the Russians as bad, all of the Ukrainians as bad, etc., or good, because ultimately we are all human beings. And I think, you know, the fact that his family, his son, his daughter, and his wife, of course, are now living in the West, etc. But I think there was an uplifting spirit. I mean, I felt that his line about, you know, ensuring that you still kept on keeping on, to be honest, was very critical, even as, say, the last very heart-rending shots of him obviously in the prison cell and so on.
Yeah, I feel like that's also such an important thing, is that the documentary isn't just exploring kind of the dismal state of what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, and how when people try to talk and oppose the government, this is how they're treated and how much fear there is, but that he keeps going beyond that, and that he's able to kind of look at it and laugh and continue even though he's imprisoned, I think is something that's incredibly inspiring. If he can, you know, if he can make light of being poisoned and still refuse to back down, I feel like that's, you know, something to remember in our own lives. Most of us will not be faced with something that intense, but to still know that there's always hope. And like you said, just, you know, remembering that everyday Russian people are still individuals, and an average people are not responsible for what their government decides, especially in the case of Russia, where the government makes a lot of unilateral decisions that the public don't get to choose. So I think that that's very important. I think when people start to label an entire group of people, some it just breeds very negative things. And we see it time and time again. People are people. But I think that's a good lesson. I think that seeing it from the inside of like a Russian mind, where he's still opposing the government, is so interesting in a way that I feel like if it was from a Western perspective, it wouldn't be quite the same.
I've already gone on record as saying that for me, I really can't get past the little donkey and the little horse in terms of favourite characters. I mean, I just think they're just, you know, there's that German donkey and the German horse. You know, the little donkey going up for it's not an electric fence, thank the Lord. But, you know, good stuff from that point of view. Who are your favourite characters? I know it seems a little bit crass to actually choose a favourite character, but it is a Resonance Rewind standard trope. So anybody who stood out in terms of, yeah, actually, I'll give my award to that, and maybe honorable mentions for various others.
I mean, is it cliche if I say Navalny? Like, I feel like we've just been watching so much Superman on Resonance Rewind, and we've been watching a lot of heroes, and then we just see this man who had an assassination attempt on him, and he's still just like, I'm gonna keep saying what I want, and that's braver than most.
Yeah, I'd go with that. And the score out of 10, Jessica?
Oh, 10, obviously. I cannot imagine giving it anything lower. It would be an insult.